From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. For more information, resources, or to donate to CRI, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and your questions answered on today's edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you haven't done so already, jot down our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mail. It's box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, our resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. Let's go to our phone callers, Paul in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good evening, Hank.
Good evening.
Bless you, bless your show. I really appreciate all your the educating you do. Hank, question. I see a predominant falling away of the man in evangelical churches left and right. The church I was at, a large evangelical church here in Mount Pleasant, and I just see men being emasculated. Do you see that too, where it's almost like you won't hear in these churches the pastors say that the man is head of the family? They're so afraid. I think they're afraid of the feminism going on in the church, that they're afraid to say the man is head of the family. And I just see this whole porn epidemic, and I just see men falling away left and right by the wayside. I'd like to know your opinion on that. But I see a lot of these evangelical churches not preaching that the man is head of the family, and I think they're afraid. And I'd just like to hear your opinion on that.
Well, I think you put your finger on a very systemic problem in modern-day culture. The problem being is we're trying to be innovative, which is to say we're trying to be cultural conformists and imitators as opposed to cultural change agents and initiators. We ought to be setting the tone for the culture. Instead, the culture is setting the tone for us. Incidentally, this morning when I was having my little date with my wife, I saw a group of men, and I actually went up and introduced myself to them. I was probably 5, 6, 7 men sitting around in a circle, and I could hear sort of their conversation loud enough so I could sort of eavesdrop as I sat there, and I knew that they were talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I said to my wife, Kathy, at that moment, I thought, wow, that is a great example to see these men thoroughly in love with Jesus Christ. Those men are going to be great fathers and great husbands because they are committed to Christ, and they're committed to the body of Christ. And I got to talk to them for a few moments, and that was abundantly clear. In fact, when I first walked up, the first thing they wanted to know was I a Christian? They didn't know who I was. Anyway, seeing them gathered there did my heart a whole lot of good. Yeah, I mean, one of the big problems that we have in Obama, Barack Obama identified this early on in his presidency, is homes without fathers. What's necessary for society to function and families to thrive is gender-differentiated parenting. And that has been lost. I mean, we've bought into this narrative of gender fluidity, transgenderism, same-sex sexuality, and because we bought into the narrative, the whole idea of the role of a man within the context and structure of the family has been diminished. Again, it is because we're imitating the culture rather than imitating a biblical worldview. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Josie listening in Fresno, California. Hi.
Hi, Hank. My question is that, or I need to clarify something first. For about 15 years, I was in the Oneness Church. And, you know, no makeup, no nothing. And my pastor ended up leaving our church in kind of a shameful way. And since then, I've been extremely bitter and scared, and I've backslid from the church for a long time. And I've been going off and on to different churches, like the First Church of God and some other churches, is still having the hardest time trying to find a place to get back where I used to be with God, and it's been very, very difficult. And I was wondering if you could kind of guide me in a direction of maybe even the way that you've been guided in this last couple of years. I was wondering if maybe you could help me with that.
Yeah, well, I don't want to be the person directing. I want the Holy Spirit being the director. I think that the Holy Spirit quite clearly led me to the body of believers I now worship with, through which I now receive the graces by which I can live, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. And I say that not to be deferential or politically correct, but simply a recognition that over many, many years of ministry, I realize that God has His people all over the place. If you look at the complexion of the Christian Research Institute, you will find people from the Reformed tradition, from the Pentecostal tradition, from the Anglican tradition, from the Orthodox tradition. And so we have many different people, but what do we have in common? We have mere Christianity in common. We're completely committed to the essentials of the historic Christian faith. So the thing that I would do is I would pray that the Holy Spirit leads and directs you. You know, the Holy Spirit can do that through people and through circumstances. And if your heart is contrite and completely yielded to Him, if you truly want to order your life around the divine, the Holy Spirit will lead you to a place where you can worship Him in spirit and in truth, where you can be someone that experiences oneness within the body of Christ, where you can be equipped to impact the world, and where week by week you can be, as it were, in the spiritual gymnasium, where you become spiritually strong so that you're no longer a part of the problem, but a part of the solution. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Roger in Mesquite, Texas. Hi, Roger.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. I wanted to ask you, I was talking to an acquaintance of mine. I had asked him what his beliefs were. He told me he's a panentheist. I'd heard of pantheist before, but I'd never heard of panentheist. And he told me that he believes that God evolves. And it was my position that God doesn't evolve, that He's unchanging. He brought up scripture where it says that God changed His mind. One of them was about Abraham sacrificing Isaac. Can you shed some light on this for me?
Yeah, a lot of examples could be given. You think, too, about God saying, "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments." I was just in that part of the scriptures recently and just amazed to see a king. The people wanted a king. God gave them a king. The king turned his back on God and turned to other gods and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Well, how does that relate to repentance? Well, God's repentance should never be understood as some kind of moral guilt that He's trying to derail Himself of. The moral perfection of God sets Him apart from a sin-tainted creation. And secondly, we have to understand that although God does not change, what's happened is the meaning of the word repent has changed. This is old Elizabethan English, and that's why I purposely quoted the King James Version. It repenteth me. Well, English has gone through a transition. Words that had a denotative meaning now have a connotative meaning. They've taken on the barnacles of time. So in place of the word repent, what people do is give what repent meant back then, the 1600s and beyond, and they render it in modern English. And what is that? It is the idea of regret or grieve. So God regretted that he had set Saul up to be king, because he turned back from following me and he did not perform my commandments. And I think in all of that, we also have to understand that just as a human father grieves over rebellion on the part of his children, so our Heavenly Father grieves over rebellion on the part of his creation. However, God's repentance must be understood as an anthropomorphism. In other words, talking in the way that humans can understand. So this is not about God becoming, in that sense, like a man. With respect to the faithfulness of Saul, God said, "It repented me that I have set Saul up to be king." Yet the very same chapter says, "The strength of Israel will not lie or repent, for he is not a man that he should repent." So apart from the anthropomorphism that get all mixed up, that's all part of the art and science of biblical interpretation. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Every CRI outreach, our broadcast, podcast, website resources, the Christian Research Journal, and more is made possible only because of friends like you. Your partnership matters. What kind of impact has your partnership had? An impact for time and for eternity. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end the financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Vernie, listening in Atlanta, Georgia. Hi, Vernie.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
That's wonderful. I'm a first-time caller, and I just want to say thank you for all you do, and God bless you. And I have a question regarding that 144. I'm trying to get a very clarity of understanding where I can communicate that exactly. I know the church is the church, but the 144, can you elaborate on that a little bit for me?
Yeah, sure. It's a matter of reading Scripture in light of Scripture. And when you do that, you find out that the 144,000, 12 times 12 times 1,000, and John is a master at using numbers. They don't come out of thin air. They have a context. The 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 apostles of the Lamb, times the number 1,000. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. God's mercy endures forever. God has given us so many examples of where that number 1,000 is used in a metaphorical way. He's keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations. Better is one day in God's court than 1,000 elsewhere. And there are 1,000 other illustrations, I suppose, if I had time that I could go to. But the number 144,000 doesn't come out of thin air. It has a context. And what's cool is if you read the Bible, particularly the book of Revelation, you'll see that the 144,000 and the great multitude are correlated together. In other words, they are the same thing. And it's very much like what John does with the lion and the lamb. Remember, John is told about a lion and then he turns to see a lamb. Well, in that same way, he's told about the 144,000 and he turns to see a great multitude. So from one vantage point, the purified bride is numbered. From another, well, she is innumerable. So what are we talking about here in simple terms? The 144,000 represent true Israel as intended to be, in perfect symmetry and providentially sealed. When I say true Israel, what am I talking about? Well, I'm talking about the purified bride from every nation, from every tribe, from every people, from every language, those that ultimately will step over Jordan, well, maybe carried over Jordan by Jesus into the New Jerusalem prepared for her from the very foundation of the world. So the 144,000 is a way of talking about the full complement of God's people from every tongue, and nation, and tribe, and people, and language.
So it's not literally 144,000 saints.
Well, no, and that is the mistake that so many have made. To suggest that 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes means exactly 12,000, not 11,999 or 12,001, has to stretch our credulity beyond the breaking point. But yet, that's exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses have done, for example. They render the 144,000 the heavenly class, and then they say all those tickets are sold. And therefore, if you want to get in at all, you can't get in on one of those tickets. You have to sit in other bleachers. You are part of the earthly class. But again, it is a problem in terms of the art and science of biblical interpretation. And I think this is one of the systemic problems we have in the Christian church today. There are many people that don't really meditate upon the Word, memorize the Word, mind the Word of God. They don't know how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. So they spout slogans which make it appear as though they love the Word of God. In some cases, they can go to church color-coordinated with their Bibles because they have so many of them, but they're not really into the Word and getting the Word of God into them, and moreover, not understanding how to read the Bible in the sense in which it is intended. Now, this takes some work. But if you're really committed to the Bible, as I have been throughout my ministry, that work pays great dividends.
Yeah, I agree with that. But a lot of it is, we don't, in the mainstream churches, we're not taught that. You know, again, it's someone is spoon-feeding you. So we're just at a time where a lot of individuals want to be spoon-fed by the ministry. And they don't teach that. They don't really teach studying the Bible. Reading the Bible and studying the Bible is very different.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
Very
exactly
different.
Right. Yes.
It is very different. And then the mainstream churches today, a lot of them don't. They really don't. That's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Hey, appreciate your call. Thank you so much. Let's go to Carol. She's listening in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Hi, Carol.
Hello, hello. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
That's good. My question is, in an effort to have a better discussion between people, our pastor wants us to visit a mosque, and they will come and visit us. My question is, it feels very awful to go and worship in a mosque. You know, like, I feel like it would be okay to go to a restaurant and talk or over somebody's house, but to go in their place of worship, it just doesn't feel comfortable to me. So I wanted to know your thoughts on that. And then someone said, well, you know, Jesus went into different places. Well, as far as I know, sure he did. He was not awful to anyone who felt like, you know, they were not up to par or whatever you want to say. But did he actually go into a temple of Baal or somebody else to go and witness?
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of evidence for that throughout the scripture, isn't there? I mean, we see this not only with Jesus, but we also see it with the apostles themselves. Think about Paul on Mars Hill. He goes to the Areopagus, and they have all kinds of images. People are worshiping all kinds of false gods, and he uses that as an occasion to present the gospel. But I think there's a bigger point here. And the bigger point is that we as Christians need to be equipped. If you are an equipped Christian, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect, you're not going to have to travel very far to get an opportunity to use what you have learned. God is going to bring someone into your presence via the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not just an academic answer for me. That's something that I can tell you with certainty over many, many years of experience. Now, I have been to many mosques, the Dome of the Rock. I've been to mosques in Iran. I've been to mosques all over the place. But I find the best place to be is simply an equipped Christian, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with gentleness and with respect. If you are equipped, you'll have an opportunity to bring the joy, the love, the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring to the human heart. I mean, the Allah of Islam is merely a figment of Muhammad's imagination. And you can tell that quite readily by reading the Quran and recognizing that there's a Quran that comes out of Mecca and there's a Quran that comes out of Medina, and the two don't have a lot in common. The two Allahs don't have a lot in common. One is an Allah that is supporting an itinerant preacher, the other a ruthless warlord building a harem. I'm going to do one Facebook question. I got to at least sneak one in. Here's one, Angela. I think it's fairly short. Where does it say in the Bible that no one will live to be over 120 years old? Ah, you know, that is a misreading of Genesis chapter 6. You know, the last part of Genesis chapter 6:3, where the Lord says, my spirit will not contend with humans forever, for they are mortal. Their days will be 120 years. Well, the idea there is that the judgment is going to come within that period of time. And a lot of people have taken that to have something to do with the age that a human being will live on average. Nothing could be farther from the truth. In fact, the scriptures tell us something very different. And if you read the obituary columns, as I do every day, you realize that these numbers really work out pretty good. The numbers are found in Psalm 90, and the numbers are, according to the Lord, that the average lifespan is 70. A score is 20 years, so the average lifespan is 70. And then the Lord says, if by reason of strength, 80. So 80 years. Some people live to be 100. Some people live a shorter duration of time. My predecessor died, I believe the age was 60. So he lived a relatively short period of time compared to the 70 or the 80. But in the overall perspective of things, that's what we're told. We're told that we'll live 70 or 80 years. And then we have the greatest of all eventualities. We go to be in the presence of the Lord, and ultimately we're resurrected. So what could be better than that? Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Please stand shoulder to shoulder with our minister in the battle for life and truth, because what you do really does make a difference, not only here, but around the world. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Soviet Red Army won the Battle of Stalingrad. It appeared at first the Nazi war machine would secure the victory, but the Soviets battled back from near certain defeat with extraordinary courage and resoluteness to turn the tide of the battle and ultimately the war. The lesson is that both men and material, people and provisions played a critical role. Willingness to fight and munitions in the arsenal were pivotal. Our contemporary battle for truth against anti-Christian secularists raises the stakes above the significance of Stalingrad. CRI likewise needs military partners willing to stand for truth, along with the financial means to accomplish the mission. Stand with us during the key month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org.